Since we don't have any officers yet, I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Has everybody had a chance to look at the agenda? Right, any additions, deletions, questions, complaints? Derek, seconded by Larry. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. First order of business, be elect a chairman, accepting nominations. Feel free to speak up.
Our current chairman's not here, is that right?
Well, there's no current, our past chairman, but, yeah.
Past chairman. Well, I'd make a motion that Jess be nominated for chairman again.
I'll second that.
Any other nominations? All right, we'll close the nominations, and since we only have one, we can elect him by acclamation. Guess we need a vice chairman, you're gonna be listening to me all night. Do we have a, normally have a vice chairman?
No.
We do, don't we?
You're ended.
Yeah, we have. Rick, weren't you the vice?
No.
Larry, were you the vice? We have.
Well, I was, but I would nominate Rick.
I second that.
We have one nomination? Any others? Yes, we can elect Rick by acclamation also. And I'll turn it over to Rick. But before we do that, I should've done this in the beginning, but I'd like to welcome our newest member, Councilman Rob Arlette, taking the county council position on the committee.
It's an honor to be here.
Welcome aboard.
We are doing a lot of listening, not a whole lot of talking tonight, let me tell you that.
Rick, I don't know if you wanted have everybody go around the room and introduce themselves, or the meeting's yours.
All right, I'm Rick Garner, by the way, I'm one of the pilot members. I'm Richard Wilson, representing the people of this area, running airport.
Thank you for being here.
Melody Vocal Wilkin, Economic Development, Spotsylvania County.
Larry Tilly, airplane owner here in the airport, and have sucked in big blue hangars. And the airplane makes all the noise when community people probably complain about it.
Well, the young kids probably think it's cool.
Yeah, well, yeah. We had Todd's whole group out here the other day, and they seemed to enjoy it very much. Kids enjoyed their pictures and stuff. We got another school group coming from Salisbury next week, and then Sunday week, we got a group coming from Wilmington, the EAA chapter. 20-odd people coming down, folks that you know. And so the newspaper articles we had in the Wilmington paper and the Salisbury paper really has helped pique some interest. We've got some more volunteers out of that, so we'll see where all that goes. We've also got another tiger moth coming. You saw the yellow tiger moth we got. You saw us finding it around last week. Didn't all check that in. Dr. Burson saw us. We sent any pictures of us all checking out, so he went ahead and gave us the second one too. So we got the sister airplane coming as well. Mm-hmm. And then possibly General Carnes may be bringing his over to leave with us for the summer. So we may have three tiger moths on the airport by April. You may have known Mike Carnes. He was vice chief of staff of the Air Force.
I know of him.
He also has a tiger moth, one that Dr. Burson gave him. He's got it out in Palm Springs right now, but the son-in-law is going to fly it to the East Coast, so he's got it out here by the summer.
That was a long introduction. I don't know if I can match that.
Yeah, how many tiger moths are you?
Yeah, I'm a tiger moth, so I don't know what I'm talking about. My name's Garrett Minoga. I own a business named Georgetown Air Services. We do all the fueling for the aircraft, and we're based in the terminal building across the way.
Okay, great.
I'm Jeff Reed. I own Sussex Aero Maintenance. I was getting ready to go let Gus in since he just texted me, but now I don't have to do that. This is Rob Arlette, the new county councilman that's been assigned to it.
Oh, and sir, how are you? It's great to meet you.
Pleasure.
Yep, thank you, sir.
And we're doing introductions of how we ended up here in the same meeting he did. And I just did, and we were going this way. So you came and just...
By the way, you're the chairman.
And let me break the news to you.
I got reelected. I did such a great job.
Don't be late. That's right. I think that's how I got elected vice chair last year. Yeah. I missed a meeting.
So with that, Rick is probably going to turn it over to you, Gus. But other than that, I have no formal briefing for you that just came in as the chairman.
We're still making our way around.
Okay. So it's up to me?
He knows who I am.
Okay. Born and raised in Georgetown. Got a construction company out on Route 9. We've done a lot of work at the airport. I learned to drive here. They would give me his El Camino, and I'd drive, run around the runways and stuff. It wasn't as busy back then. And started flying about, I don't know, 12, 14 years ago, and I just like the airport. It's good for the community.
Mm-hmm. Seeing you know Susan,
yeah.
You know me, Jim Hicken.
Yes, sir.
You know me.
Yes, sir.
And I'm Mark Ryan with Pat's Aircraft Crossing.
Okay. I took a tour of your place. This past year. It was wonderful.
We're down to number 4 on the agenda.
Of course. This is the committee portion, and then obviously it's a public meeting. We invite the public to come and answer to that meeting. We have our stalwarts that come every meeting, and a few others that attend depending on the topic or the concern. So that's really it. This is us.
There you go. Well, thanks for the public being here. This is what we do. This is why we're all here to serve you guys. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, I'd like to have a motion to approval of the minutes.
I'll make that motion.
All right, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Approval of the minutes. Jim, would you like to give us the wildlife update?
Sure. There's really not a whole lot to tell you. It's about the same as last time. I think last time I told you we were going to have one of our roundups, try to shoot some of the deer out through the gates. We had it all set up for the day before Thanksgiving, and we got the torrential rain, and it got to be too muddy to get vehicles out there, so that didn't happen. We'll try to do that again sometime. We renewed our goose egg and nest depredation permit for the year, so we're almost at that time when they're going to start making nests and stuff out there that we'll take care of. Other than that, I saw a fox crossing the taxiway yesterday, and I think we're still at about 10 deer out there, the same 10 that we've been seeing. But that's about it on wildlife stuff.
We haven't seen them on the runway for months.
You know, the day that we had some snow on the ground, you could see the tracks where they went from one side of the airport to the other. They're still out there.
That's a major problem. I know you haven't been here, but that's
right. I was about to ask the question.
Somebody hit a deer. That could be anywhere from a couple thousand dollars
to a couple
hundred thousand.
It's bad to worse.
There have been people hitting deer, and it's instant damage to an airplane. You hit a deer at 70, 80, 90, 100 miles an hour, knock out the front landing gear, and you lose control of the aircraft. I think I'd even told the story of what happened to Jerry Jones' son. Owner of the Dallas Cowboys. He landed down in Troy, Alabama. He hit a deer, took out the nose gear, jet went off the runway through a ditch, caught on fire. Luckily, the little boys there had axes in their trucks, and they cut the windshields out of the jet to get them out. And they got the pilot and co-pilot out of the airplane, so there was no loss of life. But if those boys hadn't been there with those big axes, both of them would have burned up in the airplane, off and hit the deer. So right. That's why deer, and you saw what happened with the jet that went down to the Hudson River to get geese.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's why it's so reported around an airport. That was the thing when we were flying here last week in that little lightweight, fabric-covered airplane. All the seagulls was around. We were constantly scared to death about all the seagulls hitting one of them.
Snow geese are troublesome, too.
But what's the plan? I mean, airport's now fully enclosed.
It is.
So,
We have a field jump fence. I've seen them jump a field fence and a full run right over, just like it's not there.
We've had a problem with people crashing in our gates too. And no sooner do we get one fixed than somebody else crashes into another one. So what we've decided to do is actually acquire a spare. So the next time one of our gates is crashed into, we'll have one to pluck and put in place.
Could make a suggestion too about these gates. They're black mesh, and at night you don't know it's there, and you may not even see it. How about putting some reflectors on?
We've done it on the main gate here, and we're going to do it on the other ones.
Most of the crashes we've had, these people would not have. If there were big flashing yellow lights, and we'll keep adjusting and evolving.
But we've done, you know, some habitat management type stuff, killing off some of the vegetation that the deer like. You know, there are places where the fences cross the ditches. That the ditch part was wide open, and the deer would just walk under without even ducking. So we put some special gates that'll let the water through and not let the deer through. Like I said, we've got a permit to destroy nests and eggs for the geese, so they don't keep coming back and nesting.
What about the deer, Jim? Can we at our discretion reach out to whomever and come in here and get rid of
them? We have had people out there. To shoot the deer. We haven't actually shot any deer yet.
Practice.
But in order to get the permit, at least to hunt out a season and do it whenever they're a problem, you have to tell DenRec what else you've done to that point, you know, to take that last step. So, you know, we've gone out and you know, rounded up the deer, and I've had 25 deer trapped in a corner out there. You know, and trying to herd them out through one, you know, an open gate. Problem is, you know, they'll run right past the open gate, and then every 10 feet try to crash through the fence. So
it's just an ongoing effort.
Over in Dorchester County, they have a couple of guys that have rifles, silencers, and they just take them out nice and quietly.
Ocean
lay
City.
On one side of the airport, you know, with a beanbag across the front of the truck. Mm-hmm. 308, I think it is, a couple of high-powered rifles. Silent. Paul's one of them has a permit.
Ocean City's the same way.
Yeah. So they shoot the deer and take them down to their food bank.
Yeah. And the issues that have always come up are liability and public perception. You know, you got people out there shooting deer inside a fenced-in area. You know, and who do you have shooting the deer, kind of thing. So we've looked at all that and. You know, our plan is we're going to try to shoo them out as much as we can, and the ones that don't take the hint, then you know, we'll get a permit to take care of that, and the deer will go to the Sportsmen Against Hunger.
Excuse me, coming in with tranquilizer or something like that, tranquilizing them and calling them.
I don't think they do that, but. There are a lot of ways to have people come in and shoot the deer. Like I said, we've had a lot of discussions about public perception and liability issues. I mean, there's no shortage of county employees that have called me and wanted to go out and
shoot.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
State police, you know, everybody that's.
I'm sure, yeah.
So that's what's happening with wildlife.
You want to roll right into the airport update?
Sure. First of all, let me announce to you Bob Jones, who's one of our project engineers, or he's been the project engineer for our airport project, is retiring, I guess as of this Friday. This is his last week. He's done a great job for us and gotten a lot accomplished that probably wouldn't have without him. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, we have another engineer that we've hired. Helen Naylor, and she will be very productive, so hopefully we can carry on and just continue to be productive with our airport projects. For example, on February 13th, we open up bids to overlay Taxiway A South, and that will be starting. I'm trying to think when we would start that. approximately
That'd be the middle of April. That's on my list of things to cover. But
30 or 45-day contract, much like we did on Taxiway North. We were able to pull that off without any real issues. So.
Yeah. And that is that's a 30-day project scheduled to be done the week before Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
And we've talked about this before. It's going to block off from pretty much the end of the main ramp all the way down to the new part of the taxiway. It'll block off the new tie-down apron. There'll be just one way in and out of the concrete apron out there. And I think we've talked about this before. You should be able to get out there with no problem. Like I said, it's scheduled to be done at least a week ahead of time for Memorial Day weekend, and you know we'll talk more about.
Well, I mean, I've been hearing about this for a while. So Memorial Day comes earlier this year. I guess we call it early 25th.
Mm-hmm.
So the week before means, I don't know what it means to you guys, but to me it would mean being done by the 15th.
And that's kind of that's our goal. Okay. It needs to be done by the 15th.
And the only issue is it's not so much the taxiway; it's access into that parking ramp. The new parking ramp that was built a few years ago.
Yeah.
So we need that open. We need access to it for Memorial Day weekend, starting probably the Thursday, the 21st-ish, somewhere around there. So
I don't see that being an issue.
Okay. Good.
And probably, if nothing else, you'd be able to tow airplanes into there if the pavement was
all right. Sorry, sure.
Or if you run out of space, come down there and park and tail into the grass right along the taxiway. Next week, you could get several airplanes parked that way.
Well, we could.
Only have chops.
We wouldn't. Exactly. Wouldn't have any time down there. That'd be 3 or 4 days of aircraft untied down at random places on the airport. It's not what I'd want.
Yeah.
So, sounds like they're going to have it. Or at least if I can tow them in there, that's a working solution.
Yeah. Okay. So that's that project. In the industrial park, we've got bids out right now for overlaying the rest of Baltimore Avenue. So this would be from the big intersection back just beyond your place over there in front of California Plaza. They'll maintain traffic. You'll be able to get in and out like we did with the other part. But that bids are due on March 24th for that, and you know that'll be a springtime project for us. Technically, the runway 422 package 2 is still open, but it's nothing you're going to see. It's just getting that completed. We've also bought LED runway end identifier lights, the reels, to replace the ones that are out there now. I talked about that last time, and we're going to have to look at the intensity issue when we do that. They'll go on the runway 4 end, they'll go where they are now. The 2-2 end, they get adjusted a few feet to meet FAA standards.
Now, like Waynesburg, JGG,
mm-hmm.
when you come in, you can click the lights on, and then you can click 3 more times, and it'll cut just the reels off.
Don't think we have that ability.
Okay. And it makes it.
And it's,
yep. I mean, it's not widely known. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You click it 7 times, get intensity of the lights. Once you've got the runway in sight, click it 3 more times, and so it's flashing. Yeah.
But I have talked to our electricians about what our options are going to be, because I know you guys are going to think those lights are too bright. So we're looking at that. We'll wait and see what happens, and let you guys tell me what you see. Instrument approaches for the runways. You know, we've got 4 new ones. They're the GPS approach to runway 22. They changed that one in December, increased the visibility up to a mile because of some FAA standard issues. The one that they're still working on right now is the VOR to runway 4. Right now they're predicting that's going to come out April 30th. That had been March 3rd, so they're adjusting that.
What's
and the
issue? April 30th.
the new VOR runway 4 approach.
What's the major changes there?
Come in on Route 8.
That was the obstruction, the obstruction clearance things, and adjusting minimums and stuff.
What minimums go? Are they going up or?
They should go down.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
We still have the issues with our vertically guided survey information being adopted by the FAA. We're making progress with that, but like all other things with the FAA, it's taking time. Right now, all that information, it's been accepted. It's being reviewed by the flight procedures people to incorporate that into the approaches. That is being worked, and eventually we're going to get the LPV minimums back.
What's eventually, you think, in the FAA's back frame? Years? Or months? Because we've lost traffic because of this issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, they only come out every 2 months, so probably late spring at the earliest.
Okay, but I mean, you think it's this year?
Oh, yeah.
You think we're going to resolve this year? Or even not this year?
It had been kind of stuck in the process for a long time, and now it's actually moving. But it's moving at the FAA's pace, which is very slow. So, but it's moving faster than not moving.
Do you remember what the minimums are going to go down to?
I haven't seen them. They haven't put them out. You go to the portal, and it'll show you, you know, what they're working on, but it's wrong. So, It's the older version. The other thing that will happen, and I'm not sure when, is the visibility credit for having the approach lights. I got a call from the FAA the other day from the guy that was working with the approach lights doing something. I'm hoping it had to do with the approaches, but we'll get an eighth of a mile visibility credit for having approach lights. So that'll adjust the minimums a little bit.
I mean, would we get a mile
and
an eighth would be our minimum? I mean,
or no, 7/8. Yeah. I don't think it would be 7/8, but it'll, when they do their calculations and they come up with a number, they get to take another eighth of a mile off
I've
and
never seen
whatever that comes out to.
In that fraction.
You won't see an eighth.
Or 3/4 or 1 mile or a mile and a quarter.
You won't see an eighth, but, you know, that may be enough that, you know, if they came up with 7/8 before, they got that other eighth. Now they're down to 3/4. They can give you 3/4. Mm-hmm. Where before, you know, when they computed 7/8, they had to give you a mile. So we'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Some of the other things that we're working on right now, a lot of electrical things. We've got approval from the FAA to install two more electrical vaults with all our regulators and controls for the airfield lighting. One of the problems we have is we've got so much wire in the ground and very long runs of it that it's affecting voltage and giving us electrical problems.
This will allow us to segment different sections of the light. So if we were to lose a section of lights, we only lose that section and not lights completely across the airport.
Mm-hmm. And then you recognize that since you've gone to LEDs, they don't put out the heat, so therefore they don't melt the snow like the old ones used to.
You understand? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but that's good. I mean, it's energy savings.
Yep. So that we've got that electrical issue going on. The other thing that we're working with Delmarva Power to do is add another electrical line through the airport, which will be a kind of a backup to the line that runs over to the industrial park, and will also help us feed some of the airfield lighting systems that we have out there. That's in the early stages. I don't have a whole lot to tell you about that, but one of the things that'll do for the industrial park is make the power a little more reliable out there. When the one line goes down because a squirrel ate through the line, you know, they'll be able to switch it to this other power source. It's a good thing. I know you're going to ask me about the marketing plan. That's still in progress. We've gotten a little bit of what's called task two given to us that we're reviewing, and that's about all I can say about that. It's in progress. We don't have anything to show you tonight.
Do you have like an ETA? When do you think there'll be something tangible out of it? This year, possibly?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll have an answer for you this year.
Will you share with me, Jim, have I seen that, the marketing plan for that, for the airport, or is that something separate?
No, this is something.
Something separate?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's something in progress.
Love to see what
you may have seen a business plan that was finalized, but...
Okay. Love to see that.
Jim, this is one of our top priorities, so it's not going to be delayed. As soon as we have something that we're happy with, we want to shepherd part of that review process through the committee and get feedback, both on what they're reporting as it relates to the marketing and branding on the airport, as well as some of the other initiatives that are part of this whole thing, which is logos, branding,
right,
name change, perhaps.
Do you think by Wings and Wheels, so that
absolutely
new, all that's the yes, part absolutely of marketing with that'd be great.
October.
October.
First Saturday in October.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's in progress, like I said.
Before you move, I will say the new paint over in Terminal Glen was great. I think the color and trim came out really nice. I assume everybody's been in there at some point in the last couple weeks and seen it. I think it looks a lot better than it used to. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So can I interject one more time?
Sure, go ahead.
I was gonna comment on that. We're in some upgrading phases throughout the county, and this is one of them that are in there. And we're probably about halfway done with the painting and the upgrades within the terminal building. Next steps are to work on some of the features around Garrett's area. We're going to have all new signs within the terminal, so they look appeasing, and they're uniform, and they look up to date. We're going to put an outside sign on the fence, so when someone arrives, they have a welcome to Sussex County type sign, so they know where they are, and they seem welcome. And lastly, we partnered with a local photographer, and we're going to select a lot of Sussex County landscape type pictures and put them up throughout the terminal, just to make it feel like something better than what it feels like now. On top of that, we're going to have a pretty neat flat screen TV as soon as you walk in from the outside ramp. That wall that used to have the seal on it is going to have a big 80-inch flat screen TV that's going to have, I don't know, all kinds of fancy stuff, including perhaps even some aviation type displays like airplanes in the air right now. So
one of the things we've been trying to do is include FlightAware information on there. There's a problem with doing that. FlightAware wants to charge us for it. So we're kind of looking for another alternative, being able to do that, but you know, to show aircraft that are en route, scheduled, and that kind of thing. So, maybe the screen that shows the airplanes, the tracks of the airplanes. So if anybody's got any ideas on where else we can get that information, let me know, and we'll pass it on to our IT guys. But
two things real quick, and I'll direct this towards Todd, because I think I'll know your answer, Jim, and that is, are we going to have like a picture of our airport manager, or even a picture of our director of economic development for Sussex County, or even a map of our industrial park saying we are open for business? Seriously, some simple things like that to add another level of professionalism and let them know that we are for real, we're serious as what we do here. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as that. I know you wouldn't want your picture, and I get that. But so I'll direct it towards you. Is that something that we could do, or
certainly
we feel maybe it's something that it would be relevant?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'd love to hang Jim's picture.
Oh, glad you said picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be one of the screenshots.
Not a dartboard. Not a dartboard. But and even perhaps, a picture of Melody. Seriously. I mean, as it relates to Director of Economic Development, we said we're open for business.
Yeah.
And even a map of our business park. mm-hmm. saying we're open for business, and maybe mention some of the tenants. So start promoting ourselves. Mm-hmm. Simple things, I think, that can really, you know, people are coming in, these Lear jets and alike. Wow. You know, I think it could add some added value for, like, no expense.
Yeah. And this is the first time I've heard 80-inch. I started at 55, and our IT guy said, no, that's too small. So I've never heard a number before, but
yeah,
I like
the right guy.
I like 80 inch. But there's a lot of things we can do with this display, which, you know, including those kinds of pictures. But mm-hmm. you know, the weather information, tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Thomas from Southern Delaware Tourism is all excited about having access to this somehow. You know, events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the menu from arenas. You know, hotel information, transportation. Wings and wheels.
You know, all these different kind of things you're mentioning, all running in a loop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not to leave
so
out the West, but farmers, you know, I mean, Sussex County poultry, I mean, so many things we could do and promote ourselves
mm-hmm.
For, like, no money, which would be kind of
yep.
cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love those ideas, Robin. Also, on the industrial park side, just so you know, that Jim and I are working as a team, proactively meeting with the industrial park tenants. I think we've met with, thus far, 11 or 12 tenants, with the other 8 coming up here in the next couple of weeks. Susan Wise has been able to coordinate that. And the meetings thus far have been very, very positive. And we've also found in a couple business instances that they're looking to expand, so there are expansion opportunities
mm-hmm.
that perhaps we weren't aware of before. So we are in front of business, and we had a phenomenal meeting. Jim, myself, Todd, Mike Vincent with Mark and the entire team there, and I thought it was a very,
yep.
very productive meeting.
Cool.
And in turn, we proactively met with Chesapeake Utilities too. And so when we're meeting with these tenants, we're also asking them the questions about natural gas. And a lot of positive feedback as it pertains to the high-speed connectivity now that's through the park.
Mm-hmm.
And it really has benefited businesses, and they're very, very appreciative of the county for that. So we're proactively meeting with all of these tenants. The hope is to have them all met within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
And the branding piece, you know, Jim/Todd, I mean, as we come up with a logo/maybe a new name, whatever the case may be, once that's all determined, files, are we carrying that over to the business park too?
Yes.
I hope.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So as we took a tour the other day, boy, is there a challenge over there, I mean, as it relates to I think imaging, branding, it's like, where am I? you know, truly, and I think that needs to be mandatory of all the businesses. I mean, it's our park,
mm-hmm.
it's our logo, and then maybe their name. You know, I mean, it's not necessarily their logo. We need to look, talk through that, but to make sure it's across the board the same. And all the lots, you know, that are vacant, you know, available with our logo on it, the airport logo, you know, for business. I mean, there's so many things that we could do on the branding side to keep it simple, professional. Again, that is all very inexpensive. That can go a long way. I think we are here for, we are for real. This is not a rinky-dink business. This is not a rinky-dink county, not a rinky-dink airport, not a rinky-dink business park. This is for real, legitimate, set up shop here.
So I concur. It's all part of
part of the vision there.
It's in our line of sight, as I use
John's words.
John's words in our meeting from last week. One other thing, if you're on this, part of another branding marketing initiative that we're doing is our economic development piece of the Sussex County website. And part of that is the airport piece of our website. So we're coupling the airport, industrial park, and the economic development website within the county's website and completely redoing it. And another inexpensive way to market this entire facility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have a look and feel much different than the county government website.
Right.
It's going to feel like business.
Right.
So we're engaged in that effort right now as well.
Good.
So it's coming. Stay tuned. Hold your. I know it takes a while, but
leading into that, have we, and I mean, you may be getting ready to talk about it, but the Comcast line for this side, have we got any timeline on that for the internet?
I haven't heard about that for a while, but
I'm
not really involved with that part of it.
We got DSL now there at Sussex Arrow. and I think the gerbils that have been running that are ready to retire because it is falling way behind time. So, you know, we would be very interested in that, and we're at the very end.
So last year, if you recall, there was this big initiative. They brought Fireward down to Georgetown. They're going to run it to Seaford and Lewis, and there was a lot of energy behind that. That's kind of slowed down, and as recently as Friday, actually this weekend, we had emails flying back and forth about the company that's going to be awarded the contract to run those lines. And there was an incorrect rumor going around that had taken place, and they were engaged in doing that. On top of that, there was a county initiative to bring fiber out to this side of the airport through an initiative that we're enhancing our internal fiber ring or communication ring using fiber with our own IT department. We got all the way to the goal line to start that process, and the lawyer said, time out, you better run that through an RFP process because of the nature of the services that we were getting ready to spend money on. So we did that. The RFP went out, it closed, and we're in the process of making that selection to go right back to where we were in November, December. So at some point, the county is going to be running our own internal Georgetown only, but airport as well as admin building West Complex fiber lines throughout our facilities, which will allow us, the airport side, to access that type of connectivity or high-speed connectivity. That was a long answer to say we were almost there and we had to back up. We're going to be back to that point pretty soon. I'd say the spring of this year we'll be making that improvement.
Because just for an example today, I was talking to Rob Danzine, and he was very happy that his downloads for his updates were 20 minutes, which is extremely fast to what he's used to. So, and all the little microfish that we used to have for all the different type of aircraft that come in there, maintenance, they don't do the microfish anymore. You have to go electronic. Mm-hmm. It's $6,000, and he's spending 20 to 40 minutes a day waiting for that update to come down. So, and that's as long as, you know, Larry doesn't start his aircraft up and vibrate the ground too much.
This fiber, broadband network you're installing,
I just mounted an antenna outside the hangar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've been talking about.
Businesses, internet access as well.
Yes.
Through the county?
Not through the county. So they're running, this is beyond my knowledge base, but they're running 168 strands. Mm-hmm. We need 4. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting 6. The rest is up for the ISP side, the private side, to tap into to then provide those
services.
Correct. And then long range, I don't know how far long, but we're going to run on that side of the airport as well. And that's a longer discussion, but we'd like to have our own network within whatever's out there already. So stay tuned. Good things coming.
And then the only part, another question I had or point to make is my wife and I, we landed in a remote airport because we had to divert for weather, and pulled up to the restaurant and wasn't familiar with the airport. The man gate didn't know what the code was to get in and out of the man gate, and didn't have any access to a vehicle, and I was trying to figure out how I was going to tell my wife we were going to sleep under the wing, and this is January. And I don't know, I've never really looked at what we have here. Do we have signs that for after hours, how to get a hold of them? Different numbers, or I've never really paid attention. I said to myself, you know, we as local pilots, this is home.
Take it for granted, yeah.
But, I got thinking, I said, I don't even know what Georgetown has for somebody that comes in after hours. The FBO is closed, everybody's gone. There was nothing but a bunch of drunks in the bar, and I was like, I don't think I want them driving me around. So we were lucky that I got somebody to come get us. So,
similar experience. Down in Panhandle, Florida last year, Dufiniac Springs, Florida, flying in to meet my aunts. I'm supposed to call them when I get there. My phone battery is dead. There's not a sign anywhere. There's not a portable phone. I couldn't get off of the ramp. Everything's locked.
Yeah. And I just didn't know if there was
no signage.
a good sign that says, you know, after hours, you know, maybe car rentals, motels, taxis, because there was absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even have the code to get out of the gate. And I didn't want to walk on the other side of the gate because then all my luggage and my wife would be over there. And
you might have needed that, though.
I might, yeah.
That's a good question.
Well, I have seen, I don't know what, well, it's not really.
At 6 p.m., the FBO phones are forwarded to my cell phone. So my phone goes off at any hour, any time between 6 p.m. and 8 a.m. It rings with those situations or pilots who have landed. And so, you know, we can usually get them directed in the right place. A lot of guys, I've had numerous people just sleep right in the lounge, in the pilot's lounge in the building.
Hmm.
You come in at 8 a.m., there's a guy sound asleep in there in the easy boy chair. So in the scenario you described, even if they couldn't get a room or didn't even want to incur the cost of a taxi over to the to a hotel,
they
had guys camped out in tents on the ramp. I mean, people are obviously resourceful. And they pretty much can figure something out. So,
but the FBO is open, so you can get in.
Our terminal is open ramp side 24/7. They can get into the building at any 3 in the morning, get into the building, and if they want to sleep in on a lazy boy chair in the house, they can do that, or they can call the FBO, and my phone will ring, and I can get them directed in the right place.
But you're right. I never noticed. Is there signage out or not?
Yeah.
On the ramp side.
It
would be something we would certainly try to figure
mm-hmm.
out. I like the idea. Let me add to the story. I was out there one day and walking around, and a guy grabbed me, and he was a pilot, and he was waiting for someone, and asked him some questions, and he had flown in the day before. He was hanging out to see if he could get another crew to fly. I think he was with NetJets, and I said, "Where'd you spend the night?" And he said, "I just, you know, kind of went out and looked up a place, and I stayed out in the hotel out there by Walmart. I don't know what brand
Comfort
it is. Not a nice hotel, I would say, compared to if he would have had some kind of local contact and gone right into town to the Brick and could have had a nice meal, decent meal at least, a decent place to stay, a decent bed to stay in." I felt like it was a lost opportunity for a local venue to take a pilot that works for NetJets and stay in there.
Yeah, it could do a list. Just
well, folks from the Brick can pick you up out here.
Oh, sure.
Take you to the hotel. What about the Comfort Inn and the new place down the road? Will they bring a car out?
That's true. We've got a brand new hotel across from the West Coast. But
we
need to
approach
get that
those hotels. We need
thing.
To find out, will they shuttle people? And then we do need signage out there. Here's the hotels in town.
Right.
Here's their phone numbers. After hours.
That's all on our website. GeorgeCenter.com has all of that.
Yeah, that's great. If you just landed out there because you got diverted here because of fog and rain, and you're not going on the website, look what I kind of told you. You're looking for a sign on the side of the building or on the fence.
Well, tell me what you want on the sign.
That's what we're talking. Just talking.
I say, well, you're the pilot. What do you want on the sign?
I'd want a phone number of where to get fuel. After hours fuel if needed, but also taxi and all the local hotels.
Right. So they're going to call GeorgeCenter.com and I'm going to direct them. I don't think you need to have a 5-page listing of hotels and rental cars there. Just one number, I think, is sufficient.
I disagree. Because what if you can't get to your phone? What if your phone battery's dead? What if?
How are you going to call a hotel and run?
If your phone is not
available.
My phone?
Yeah, you dropped it in the toilet. And all of a sudden, the pilot needs to call you. It's done.
What if there's a nuclear holocaust, too?
I'm sorry. The standard around this country that I see, and you probably see as well, is have signage at the airport with the phone numbers to call for these different services.
Mm-hmm. Well, if the terminal building's open, and you're going to have an 80-inch monitor inside, why couldn't you display it on the monitor?
Yeah. That might be a solution.
That is the kind of thing that we're going
about. We just need to figure out what that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just telling you from the experience I had, it generated a question, and I never really thought about here at Georgetown. And, you know, if somebody flies in and they can't find this information, it's very easy that they may fly and go to Ocean City or Salisbury or Millville or whatever, and then Garrett loses the business for fuel and other stuff and motels and economic impact of the loss. And I'm saying it's a huge dollar sign, but I just, when I hit the ground out there, and it was in Florida, and I don't know, maybe Florida, Bedford, I don't know, but I had no clue, and I didn't want to go out the gate. The FBO was out the gate, and there was nobody there, nobody answered. I looked on the internet, called all the numbers that were on there,
No answers. You know, the rental car place was closed. Had no idea how to get a hold of taxis. And it was just a mess. It looked like I was going to be stuck there under the wing.
Okay. Well, that's something we'll look at.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we have business cards up on the front desk as well that have the FBO's phone number, and I don't think we have a huge gap here in a pilot in the situation. If you were the pilot landed at Georgetown Airport, I don't think you would have had the same experience you had at that airport. I think there's enough existing information within the FBO that the building's open all night, it's comfortable, it's warm, there's a pilot's lounge, and there's phone numbers for the FBO. I think it'd be okay.
I'm not saying that there is. I'm just saying that from that learning experience, I don't know what I would do if I landed here, because I always know where home is and where my car keys are and how to get out of here. But it's somebody else that was from the location I landed in that landed here. I don't know what his questions would be or issues. So just something to look at. Next topic.
I think there's an opportunity for improvement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The only other project that we have going on right now is the ramp expansion project. We talked about this. We're in the middle of design for expanded parking for the larger aircraft. You know, it's basically an extension of the ramp that's out there now. You know, for corporate-sized aircraft and smaller with tie-down opportunities. So we're in the middle of design on that. It's an expensive project, and you know we're trying to package it so that, you know, to meet our grant money that's available and that kind of thing. So just all I really want to say is we're in the middle of it. It's ongoing, and
when do you think that's going?
Well, it's not going as smoothly as what we have hoped.
It's a flat piece of ground. How hard is it?
I'm just messing around, you know.
It's available. FAA funding is not available for the whole project.
Right.
Actually, just Jim and I are actually scheduled. We do a trip once a year to go up to the FAA and talk funding, and that happens to be tomorrow. So we're going up to see them tomorrow. So I don't know that the funding is going to be any better than the news we hear tomorrow than what they've been telling us for the last month, but we can always hope. And we'll report back at the next meeting how things are going.
And because we were talking about the different size, is that still to be determined, of the overall scope for the first phase? Because there was five phases, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. And again, the reason it should be built as one project.
Right.
The reason we were looking at five phases was available FAA
right.
funding. And that's where things are becoming a little bit difficult. Okay. Trying to do something reasonable in phase one is becoming harder and harder. So we'll report back at the next meeting where we are.
That's all I got.
Any other comments on the airport update? I think we hit all the topics there. New business?
Well, Wings and Wheels will be October 3rd this year, first Saturday in October. You know, that's one thing we got to, you know, keep reminding everybody. It's always the first Saturday in October, because every year the old people start calling me and say, when's Wings and Wheels going to be next year? First Saturday in October. What date is that? First Saturday in October. The automatic answer, first Saturday in October. I don't know what it is. It's the first Saturday in October. Hopefully we'll get that, because, you know, we used to go with different dates and round up with that date because it didn't conflict with other things that were going on in the area. Dick Cole has expressed interest in coming back again. And while I was sitting here, I just got a message that Ed Saylor died today. So there's only three Raiders still alive, only two that know who they are. So I don't know how much longer we're going to have them. But Dick will be here shortly after his 100th birthday. But I tell you, I guarantee you, he's more vigorous than a lot of 65-year-olds you'll run into around here. He was out in his workshop yesterday when we were talking, building some new cabinets. But, you know, he's still planning on coming back, so we'll still have, you know, some things surrounding that, and maybe try to throw a little bit of a birthday party for him.
I think we, this is my last meeting, isn't it? Or did, did you guys really elect me?
No, we elect you first. You were passed.
No, you're kidding.
You were passed.
I was,
you were a husband. I said, no, we can't do that
to
buddy.
Gus. Appreciate it.
Gus has got to be the man.
Our first repeat?
Yeah. Wow. You guys really have no standards whatsoever. That's bad.
I think it was vice and then went to chairman.
I think you repeated the chairman.
Did I repeat the chairman?
I thought so.
Because I remember nominating.
So you're in my, we're a group, we're a team, we're teammates.
Now I know I'm bad.
Don't put that in there.
Yeah, turn out.
I hope this is appropriate. Just some feedback from the airport. I was here for a meeting, and I was meeting with Sue Wise, and a gentleman came in to her office and started talking with her, and instantly we engaged him in conversation. Long story short is his home airport is Cape May. He said that Cape May should take some direction from this airport. He expressed the cost of fuel. That's certainly a very competitive one. He likes coming here. He also loves arenas. He actually flies in here oftentimes to get jalapeno crab soup, which in turn he offered me some and offered Sue some, and I will say it's absolutely delicious. But he took my business card, and you know, we had a great conversation. So just wanted to pass on positive feedback of people.
Any other new business? Public comments.
Probably the most positive and most progressive meeting I've been a part of out here. And I really just want to pass it on to all of you that it sounds like you're starting to click. Number two, Mid-Atlantic Food and Wine. Had them in. They met Jim the other day. They would like to put on a significant event here to actually draw more attention, obviously, to us, we're so inclined, and I'm sure that Todd and Melody will pick up from the economic development standpoint on that. Number three, I really like what I heard about hospitality, what I call airport hospitality, as far as the comments you made about coming in, because I've had those experiences over a lifetime, too, and I know what that's all about. And I also like all the comments about high-speed internet. Mm-hmm. So it's been a very positive, progressive meeting for me.
Good.
I don't know whether who's in here, who it would be, unless it would be our lady sitting here. If you have a sign welcoming people to the airport with information on it, why can't you sell the advertisement for the restaurants that you're going to put on that sign? Mm-hmm. For money for the Economic Development Office, or for the county or somebody. Why advertise somebody for free?
And that's not only restaurants. I was thinking the hotels, motels, or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like $25
once a day. I think it's a great idea. I mean, I've flown into Ahoskie, North Carolina, and they've got a 50-gallon drum sitting out there to refuel you, and they don't care whether you land there or not.
Yeah.
Just
he's not kidding. That's an interesting place to get into.
So I guess free Wi-Fi is all the question.
It's interesting that Comcast sends me two or three times a week solicitations wanting to provide me internet service down there at the hangar.
I laugh at that too. I laugh at that too.
So you ever called them and said yes?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's not available in your area. So why are you sending me letters? Well, we send them out to everybody. I think you're wasting your money. But Jeff, I'll show you what I do down there for internet, and it works
very well.
With the
next meeting,
a little MiFi and with an antenna that's outside coming through the wall into the office. Just plugs right into the MiFi and then the charger plugs in. You got great internet access. We're up to about 30 feet away from it. For up to, I think the one I'm using now, up to 10 devices. So.
Okay. Great.
There's anything else? Let's set the next meeting date. And I've just been informed by my right-hand person here, Susan. March 25th would be the date.
I will be out of town, unless you want to...
We'll Skype you?
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a 6 hours difference.
That's okay. Ahead or behind?
Behind.
You'll still be sober.
I'll be with the boy.
Ah.
March 25th?
Yes. Same bat channel. 6 p.m. There isn't anything else for the committee. A motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.